Welcome to Season 2 of Coastal Currents with Aaron Reed. This season is dedicated to interviews with mayoral and city council candidates running for the city of Powell River within the Coffett region during the 2022 municipal election. Here's your host, Aaron Reed.
Welcome to Coastal Currents. I am your host, Aaron Reed. Joining me for this episode is Eli Leyland. Eli is running for the position of city councilor for the city of Powell River in the October 15th, 2022 municipal election. Here is Eli's submission. I believe in social good, in improving the greatest number of lives possible, not serving a single individual's self-interests. This is exactly what I stand for. I am serving the people, not myself. Even though I've only lived here for a few years, I immediately fell in love with this city. It's easy to come to Powell River for the beautiful wilderness that we have. But the reason why I'm making this my forever home is because of the community values that I experienced as soon as I got here. Values that were clearly passed down through many generations. The people of Powell River look out for one another. This is something that is fundamentally lost in larger cities. The things that I love to see in Powell River are ideas that draw us closer together instead of pulling us farther apart. If I am granted the opportunity to be city councilor, I know that I can make a difference and bring forth the ideas of my community. I would love to see a solution that actually works to solve the mental health and addictions crisis in our city. I am looking for solutions to lower tax rates and advocate for an MRI machine to cut down on travel expenses and time for those who need one. I would love to see more affordable options for housing as home ownership has become more and more unattainable for current and future generations. I am not running for myself, but to represent the ideas and values of the people of Powell River. If I am elected, I can promise that I will work faithfully to help improve this wonderful place that we are all so lucky to call home. Please join me in welcoming Eli Leyland. So, welcome to Coastal Currents. My guest today is Eli Leyland. Welcome to the podcast, Eli.
Thank you so much, Aaron. I really appreciate you doing this. And yeah, it's an amazing work you're doing.
Thank you. And Eli's my first podcast guest of this series that's rolled up on an e-bike. So that was pretty cool. So to start off, I thought if you wouldn't mind just telling me a little bit about yourself, like where you were born, where you grew up, what your childhood was like, that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I'm 35 years old. I was born and raised in Kitsilano in Vancouver. And growing up, my family had a cabin in Desolation Sound, Refuge Cove. So I spent almost all of my childhood up the coast in a beautiful Refuge Cove. And one of the things that I used to love to do as a child is come through Powell River, go to the old movie theater and whatnot. And so like this place was always very nostalgic for me. And I moved away when I was 18 years old to work in Alberta for a decade. And I came to soon realize that I wasn't happy in Alberta. And but I also wanted to afford a house. And people of my generation and future generations, it's pretty difficult to do that. And it's becoming, you know, even a harder thing to do. But I fortunately enough have a very loving and supporting family. And I looked at houses which are unattainably unaffordable in Vancouver, but in Powell River, I managed to come together with my father and we purchased a property here in Powell River. And yeah, and in February of 2020, I moved here and I'm never looking back. I've told all of my friends in Alberta that if they ever want to see me again, they're going to kind of have to come here and visit.
Nice. Yeah. So you moved here before real estate really hit the fan.
I did. I actually had purchased my property with my father almost 8 years ago. And we had bought this place as kind of a summer house and just a place that I could rent out during the year. And then we could enjoy it as a family or friends, whoever wanted to come up here. And then, yeah, but the more I realized, living in Alberta wasn't making me very happy. I had decided to make this whole move, this whole shift. And I came here and it's pretty easy to fall in love with the environment in Powell River. I mean, we have the most beautiful place, honestly, on earth. But it was really like the sense of community values and just welcoming that I felt all around me. The moment I got here, you know, I'd have strangers waving at me. I know this is going to sound weird, but you start turning around and you're going, who are they waving at? But they're not. They're just waving at you because that's what friendliness and community looks like. And those things are just fundamentally lost in larger cities.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I came for the beautiful environment, but I stay for the community. And I just love this community. And I love giving back to this community because it has given me so much. It's given me meaning and purpose and life. And this is my forever home. So, yeah.
Nice. Well, it's nice to have you here.
Thank you.
What neighborhood do you live in?
I live on Willingdon.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. Really, anywhere where you live in Powell River is just spectacular. You just walk outside and there's an abundance of everything that is beautiful in this world. And I can't tell you how unbelievably grateful I am. Yeah, I love it so much. I have nothing but amazing things to say about this place.
Awesome. So what kind of work have you done over the years?
So I worked a bunch in sales, you know, when I was younger. And then I went to school, university in Calgary. And I eventually ended up working in nightclub industries and running bars and nightclubs out in Alberta. And it was fantastic when, you know, the money and whatnot, and I was young and I enjoyed that kind of lifestyle. But truth be told, you know, when you get into your 30s and whatnot, you're looking for meaning and purpose in your life. And I just wasn't getting that in Alberta, you know?
Yeah.
There's money to be had, but I like the saying, there's some people in this world so poor, the only thing they have is money. And I wanted something more. I wanted some more meaningfulness and peace and serenity in my life and just a real sense. You know, honestly, I didn't know what I was missing out on until I moved here.
Really?
Yeah. It was just that sense of, you know, welcoming, that you're not just, you're a part of something, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
Just that real sense of community that you feel, that love, you know? That everyone has in here.
My analogy was always, well, young people won't get it, but it's like Cheers, you know, where everybody knows your name.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, that's great.
So where are your favorite places to spend time here in the city?
Oh my God. You pick a direction. Honestly, I could give you a million and one different places, you know, the hiking, the biking, the swimming, the viewing, the fishing, just everything. And it's in our back doors. It's everywhere. And it's abundant. And not only that, it's like, they're amazing people to do all these things with as well.
Yeah.
And it's right here. You know, it is impossible to be bored in this city. You could spend lifetimes and lifetimes and always be discovering new, amazing things, you know, within the wilderness in this community.
So you're an outdoor guy.
Love it. I mean, how could you not be?
Right.
It's wonderful.
Awesome. So what made you decide to put your name in for city council?
Really, really loving this community. I want to give back. I want to give back. And this is the best way that, you know, I can give back to my community is like listening to the needs and wants of the people here and helping raise awareness for things that aren't known or giving better clarity for things that are. Having, you know, transparency on these issues and really just getting things done and seeing a direction that keeps this community together instead of, you know, pulling it further apart. Because that's what I want to hold on to is all the things that I currently just love about this city.
Great. What issues are top of mind for you as we go into this election?
Well, certainly the ones that are, you know, forefront of my mind are, you know, lower taxes. Our taxes have increased substantially over the course of since I've been here. That ties into our largest taxable revenue source was this mill site. And I have no doubt that current council had the best intentions and whatnot, but hindsight is 20/20 vision. And, you know, they gave the mill site a multi-million dollar, multi-year tax break under the assumption that they would remain open. And they didn't. And mm-hmm. they're still receiving this tax break today. And that money directly comes out of, you know, our pockets. As everyday citizens here. And that's certainly, you know, one on the forefront of my mind. There are other things, you know, like affordable housing. And I mean that like for our generation and future generations, that we're not having to pay, you know, 70 or 80% of our paycheck to go towards, you know, living expenses, such as, you know, rent, right? One thing that the city of Powell River has is an abundance of land. And, you know, the fact, you can't tell me that they can't come up with a solution for this. At least something, do something about this. There are a lot of kids and there's a future to look forward to.
Yeah.
And like I said before, this is my forever home. I just, it's just great. And then, you know, the number one issue that I take the most passion about is addiction and mental health in this community. People are obviously really frustrated about things like, you know, increase in crime and all this stuff and how visceral this is. And it's not just our community, but it's many communities, all communities, honestly, across Canada. But really how all of this affects every person in Powell River.
Mm-hmm.
40 to 60% of all ambulance, police, and fire calls are based on some semblance of mental health and or addiction. And it's not even that we have a broken system. I would argue that we don't have a system at all. You know, you look at something like supportive housing, and what it feels like is housing, but without the right support.
Right.
You have, I talked to the head nurse at the hospital recently, and they're opening up two mandatory detox beds, which are fantastic. They'll save lives. But then what happens? You know, you detox someone who is coming to you asking, begging, pleading, you know, this is their life or death situation, for help. And we don't have an option. You know, you clean someone up and then it just becomes a revolving door.
Right.
The options are a $20,000 or $30,000 a month treatment center or a 6-month wait list for a public one. And let me tell you, that's only if you're a man in this city. That option isn't even available if you're a woman. There are no public treatment centers for women. So how do we go and fix this problem when we don't have a solution to begin with?
Right.
I'm not looking to throw money at the problem. I'm looking to invest into a solution to fix this problem for those who really are seeking help, who want to get out from underneath the unfathomable suffering that they deal with on a day-to-day basis. And that suffering doesn't just affect them, as we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it affects the whole community. It affects tax-paying dollars. Where does all of this money go to? But I'll tell you right now, when you are able to help one of these individuals get out from underneath this, not only do you not become a burden to yourself, your loved ones, and the rest of the community, but you become a productive tax-paying member back into society. You know, and the people who I meet who don't just have sobriety, they have real recovery. Yeah. All they do is give back. All they do, they are the most giving, most loving, most generous people. Talk to them. Those are the faces that I want to, you know, put as the forefront of this. I am tired of the people who, you know, I'm not talking about the people who don't want to get help.
Yeah.
You know, who make it look so bad for the rest of them. I'm talking about the people who are part of our community. These are people's sons and mothers and daughters and family. Every person in this community knows someone who has or is suffering with mental health and or addictions.
Yeah.
And it can be as close to as one of your own personal relatives or as far away as your friend's personal relative. But these aren't people that are being bused here or coming from other communities. If you go out and talk to them, they are people in our communities. These are lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when people ask me what is the number one thing that I want to deal with the most, it's this. And if you don't think that this is an issue that directly affects you, I promise you it does. In some aspect, it does. And if even at the very least aspect, it speaks to your humanity. And it can't, you know, like I can't tell you how much that it speaks to the true sense of the word community. We aren't selfish people in this community. This is a community of loving, selfless people who look out for one another.
Right.
And this is how you do it. You need an actual system, an actual solution. Harm reduction is great. That's fine. It's also saving lives. But I'm saying for those who actually want to get better, for those who want to seek help in mental health issues, we don't have any system in place that doesn't cost an exorbitant amount of money. If you need counseling, it's a massive wait list for public counseling or hundreds of actual dollars that they can't afford an hour.
Yeah.
You know, another thing that I just wanted to touch on in this, and I know I'm taking up a lot of time here.
Well, it's your time.
Well, I appreciate your time as well. is that I want to get this across that people who have, you know, they say that it's a drug problem or an alcohol problem. It's not a drug problem. It's not an alcohol problem. How I know this is that when someone with a, quote, drug problem, as you say, gets sobriety, they still have all the problems in their life. essentially how you fix this solution, how you find a solution for this, essentially how addiction works, how alcoholism works, and all of this stuff is encompassing in this way. If someone has a problem, and a problem is depression, a problem is anxiety, a problem is loneliness, a problem is, you know, generational trauma, those are all problems.
Yeah.
The only way that anyone in addiction or alcoholism deals with this problem is they drink. And essentially what that does is the drinking or using drugs creates more problems, and you only have one solution, which is to use and drink more drugs.
Yeah.
And now you're in a catch-22 that people refer to as addiction.
Yeah.
So how recovery works is it's not the purpose to get the person sober. The purpose of all recovery is to help the person problem solve the rest of their problems in their life. And when you do that, not only does the person not need the drugs or alcohol anymore, you no longer want them. There's no cravings involved, because you go from essentially the world's worst problem solver to the best problem solver.
Right.
And then eventually what happens in recovery is you become such a good problem solver, you get to solve other people's problems. And that's how this whole thing works.
Yeah.
But we do not fundamentally have a system in place to help those who want to get out from underneath this. We don't have it. I see people's frustration in the community. I see it. It's visceral, right?
Yeah.
But my thing to them is, it's not that we have a broken system. We just don't have a system at all. So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for solutions that bring our community together. That's what I'm most passionate about.
You can tell.
Yeah.
That's good.
Thanks.
That's good. So are there certain strengths that you have that you feel would be really useful around the council table?
It's a good question. I'll tell you right off the bat, when I first decided to run, I was most, and I always am, most enthusiastic to sit down with people who have polarizing, opposing viewpoints to my own. Because I believe that the only way, the best way to learn something, is to understand a perspective from someone else who has a polarizing, opposing viewpoint to your own. You know, if I'm surrounding myself with everyone who just totally agrees with me, I'm not seeing the other side. But I think it's fundamentally lost in today's politics, just the ability to have the patience to sit down with someone and learn where they are coming from, what side they're coming from, and learn from that. And so, like, you know, that's what I did. That was the first thing that I did. I found the people who are in the community who I knew just had different perspectives. And I love sitting down with that. You know, another thing that I fundamentally believe that we're losing as society is the civil part of civil discourse. Hmm. The ability to have an actual conversation without immediately disregarding the other person's, you know, viewpoints and sides. You know, being able to listen to them and not disregard them because they don't agree with you. You know, and I want to see more of that. And all of this ties into, you know, transparency and communication and all of these things that I think are just absolutely fundamental to being part of city council or any elected position in politics.
Okay. And that leads me to, how do you work through conflict?
Interesting. Well, you know, conflict resolution is necessary part of just life. But just because someone is disagreeing with you doesn't make them wrong for everything that they're saying. Being able to not just keep tunnel vision going and keeping your ears open to the things that they're saying and the real beliefs that they believe in. And you can always find common ground with people.
Yeah.
I promise. You always can. And, you know, there's no point. And when you have conflict with someone, I do my best to never hold on to, you know, kind of a resentment. You know, it's like, you know, there's that classic saying of a resentment is like poisoning yourself expecting someone else to die. And there's no point to that. I promise you, if more people would just start hearing people who may have opposing viewpoints to their own, you can learn a hell of a lot.
Excellent. This one's a little bit longer. Our youth aren't able to vote. However, they are a really important part of our community. And we have little for them to do here besides sports, arts, and the outdoors, and many teens aren't into those things. So do you have any ideas of ways that we can address the lack of space for teens and young adults and better support them?
Well, first, we have to be talking to them. You know, we can't be talking or assuming, you know, talking to the parents of these people and thinking that, you know, someone else has the person's best interests at heart. If you want to reach out to the youth, you have to connect with the youth. You have to talk to them and see what their needs are, their wants, what they're looking for. Because they are the future of this generation, you know?
Yeah.
The world will be left in their hands. And don't we want to make that place the best place possible for them, the most comfortable place? Honestly, it's with any problem or anything in our society. Go to the source. Talk to the people who this thing is affecting. Don't talk to, you know, an expert in this subject or, you know, a parent and whatnot and see what they have. Go right to the source. See what they need. Listen to them. Talk to them. Address their needs. It's not hard. I work part-time at the gym, local gym here in town, and I can't tell you how many youth have been involved into working out. It is, honestly, like it's every time between the hours of 4 and 6 p.m., there are anywhere between 10 and 20 of them every single day at the local gym working out, getting healthy, and feeling motivated. And it's awesome because, you know, as we all know, exercise is a fundamental part of being healthy. And I actually have this saying that I tell people when they're signing up for, you know, to get health and wellness in their lives: don't come to the gym to strengthen your body, come to the gym to strengthen your mind. Your body will follow, but I promise you the most tangible piece of exercise will be your mental health. You will feel incredibly better.
Right.
You will be physically sore, but mentally amazing. So,
have you read the 94 calls to action put out by the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada? And how do you think our city is doing with regards to truth and reconciliation?
Great question. So, you know, truth and reconciliation, So the 94 proposals, you know, it breaks it down into several different categories, right? I believe as a community that we are doing very well in this regard, and we have a lot more to do. I will tell you, you know, the elephant in the room and the thing that's obviously like attached to that, and the thing that is the most prevalent issue that I hear time and time again is the name change. So, you know, just like addressing this off the bat, I believe that truth and reconciliation should be always something that brings communities together. And in my view, my opinion, I have not seen this name change bring people together. I've seen this thing just, honestly, it has brought some of the worst out in people, and I don't like how this has gone about. In my personal opinion, you know, moving forward, it doesn't matter what the issue is, I would always give a platform for both sides to speak on any issue that they're passionate about. Moving forward with this, I would leave it up to a community vote. I would leave it in the hands of the people of Powell River to decide whether or not we should or shouldn't change our name. This is the city of Powell River, and this should be a decision left to the residents of the city of Powell River. They should also be informed of all sides of any kind of argument that happens. Truth be told, I'm not looking for things that divide our community. I'm looking for things that bring our community closer together. And not to completely go back on this, but you know, if you talk about addiction and mental health, it is so unbelievably even more present in the Indigenous community. And there just aren't options available. This is an existential crisis that does not discriminate against age, gender, sex, orientation. It doesn't care.
Yeah.
It is the single thing that will rip our community apart, and we currently don't have a solution for this. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for things that bring our community together, not pull it further apart.
Okay. So you did talk about this already a little bit, about something that's top of mind for you, but one major concern of many electors is rising taxes. Do you have any ideas on how we can maintain the tax level without cutting services?
Yes. So, you know, it's interesting because you have this kind of elephant in the room of the mill site, right? Mm-hmm. And they're currently still receiving, I believe it's approximately a $3 million a year tax credit first off, you know, that contract is going to be up soon, and that would force them to actually do something with the mill site, turn that into, you know, some kind of a business that is able to generate taxable revenue. We need to be doing that. We need to be pressuring, you know, companies like that. By the way, just on a side note, I mean, like I said before, hindsight is 2020, and I'm sure they had the best of intentions. We're talking about a company that I've talked to many of their workers, and all of them still haven't even been paid severance. Wow. from that mill site shutting down. So, like, I'm not here to make bad faith deals with bad faith companies. And if you talk to any one of them, they don't have anything good to say about that, right?
Yeah.
They need we need, you know, jobs in this community, and we need all of these things, but we need plans and actions, and, you know, less talk and more actions, and doing things that force companies like this to make actions that actually, you know, affect everyone who lives in Powell River by raising their taxes, you know, stopping this tax incentive that they currently have, to actually have them sell the land or do something about it, so that we can be generating income from what is the single largest taxable revenue source in all of Powell River.
Right.
Can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. What was the history behind you and Powell River?
Well, my family on my mom's side settled in Stillwater in 1888.
Wow.
And my dad's parents had the dairy farm in Wildwood years ago called Lewis and Sons Dairy. So my dad literally was the milkman.
That's fun.
He used to deliver the glass bottles of milk.
That's
so
amazing.
I do have some long history here as far as settlers go. Not the same as our indigenous neighbors, but mm-hmm. As far as settlers go, my family goes back a ways. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you love most in your free time in Powell River? What are some activities that you love doing?
Podcasting.
Yeah.
That's all I've had time for lately. I used to play baseball. We have a cabin south of town, so I like to hang out there. My husband just built it, started in 2020, and
cool.
Built it. So, yeah.
That's fun.
It's my happy place.
That is your happy place?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
That and my ducks.
And
my backyard
ducks.
And my ducks.
I'm gonna meet your ducks.
Yeah. They're entertaining.
Do they do eggs?
Yes, they do.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are they delicious?
Yes, they are.
Oh, my God.
And they're bigger than chicken eggs.
Yeah.
They got bigger yolks, so they're really good for baking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's, I might have to take one from you.
Okay. I got a couple questions.
Of course.
Well, actually, mostly just one, because you've covered the others kind of organically. So.
Cool.
The proposed spending for the new emergency services center.
Yeah.
It's another contentious issue.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you land on
I'm going to break this down. You know what? It was interesting. I love this. This might be my favorite question, because I was just yesterday, I sat down with the firefighters for 2 hours. I was the only candidate who sat down with them during this entire election process, which I was kind of shocked by. It was almost 2 hours, and I sat down with all of them, and I was talking to them because, you know, obviously people see essentially what's coming to the vote isn't the fact that we're going to spend this money. They're just looking to see that we can borrow this amount of money to allow us to then apply for grants and other forms of money to support this system that won't actually, though that, you know, a huge amount of it won't actually cost the taxpayers money.
Right.
Right. But they need this first thing in place. But essentially what it comes down to, when I've talked to individuals out there in the community, I just want to tell them, don't look at it like, should we be spending all this money? Look at it, do you support our first responders? Honestly, I can break it down as simply as that. And we are going to need a new fire hall eventually. Why don't we do it now? They were asking for this 20 years ago, and we kept delaying it and delaying it. And I understand that there's... in some aspects, maybe this hasn't been explained well enough, or there hasn't been enough transparency on this issue. But the only thing that they are asking for is the idea to be able to borrow this amount of money. But with that proposal, given that if it does pass, then City Hall can start applying for grants and funding outside of the taxpayers' money to fund a lot of this stuff. Yes, a bunch of it will be paid for by the taxpayers, but in my opinion, it's an absolute necessity. firefighters in general, or ambulatory service, or nurses, they're doing a job that fundamentally 99.999% of us can't even fathom doing, or something that we can't even physically do. My father put this best. He said, you know what? I hope you live your entire life never needing a firefighter or a police officer or an ambulatory service. You know, God, you know, that's amazing. You're living your best life. But if you do, don't you want them to be the best prepared they possibly can be? And we're talking about a service. All of these services, we're talking about minutes save buildings, minutes save lives.
Yeah.
So really what it comes down to, we talk to, you know, the experts. You know, I've heard things, oh, they want to put a gym inside there, right? Don't you want your firefighters to be in the best shape possible for when they're, you know, having to actually do their job? You know, if they want, I walked in there. Do you know that they just got a tiny little air conditioner in the whole unit this year? They don't even have like central air conditioning or anything. Like, what do you want? I would want personally any one of my first responders, whether it be, you know, a nurse or an ambulance driver or a police officer or a firefighter, if I need them, I want them to be in the best mental shape, the best physical shape, and the best well-trained for any situation. I hope I never have to use them.
I can one-up you on that.
Please.
They still have to pull out a physical generator and pull start it.
Ridiculous.
When the power goes out.
Ridiculous, right? And like, how, you know, I understand it feels like, you know, spending and all this stuff, but it's not that. We're going to need it eventually. We should have had it 20 years ago. We should have had it 10 years ago. We should have it 5 years ago. If not now, when? We should be fully supporting any one of our first responders. We should give them everything, and it still wouldn't be enough.
Fair enough. And that's all I have for questions. So is there anything else you wanted to talk about?
Oh, I don't know. I've had a lot of fun on this. I love connecting with and engaging with people in the community. It's been just a wonderful experience. I've gone door to door and, you know, just a really, really nice reception. I wish I could reach out on a much larger scale. You know, there was the All Candidates Forum, which was, you know, done to the best of their ability, but having 18 people and going through this whole thing, there wasn't a lot of time to really get who I am across to the people of Powell River.
Yeah.
If I'm given the honor of representing the city, I'm going to do it by listening to all of the people of Powell River and enacting the things that they want to see done in the city and explaining to them, you know, transparency and communication is so key and fundamental to all these things.
Yeah.
I don't have any other agenda other than altruism, and I have no conflicts of interest in the city. I am coming purely from a place of selflessness, and I just because I love this community, and all I want to do is give back and help the people of Powell River.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come chat with me today.
Thank you for giving me this forum. I really, really appreciate it. It's wonderful.
No problem. Yeah. Thank you.
Cheers. Have a wonderful evening.
You too. And that concludes this episode of Coastal Currents with Aaron Reed, featuring guest Eli Leyland. If you'd like to connect with Eli one-on-one, he welcomes you to give him a call at 604-999-9800. Until next time, this is Aaron Reed.
Thank you for listening to Coastal Currents with Aaron Reed. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. For more interviews, visit coastalcurrents.ca or follow us on Facebook at Coastal Currents with Aaron Reed. Thanks again for listening.